Hi, friend. Welcome to the Revelation Wellness Podcast. I'm Alisa, and today we are going to have a conversation with a fresh voice in the health, wholeness, wellness ministry scene. And her name is Janine Amapola. Janine Amapola, guys, she is a millennial, 29 years old, newly married, and she is speaking to a generation. You want to listen to this episode. If you have a child right now, a child, a young adult, Gen Z, millennial, she's going to shoot it to us straight. And this book that she wrote called Becoming Happy and Healthy, a real life advice on friendship, dating, career, and everything else you care about, she shoots it to you straight. And even on this show, this might be the first time ever you are about to hear the word, plug the ears if you got little ones, masturbation. Yes, and I am so happy she went there because she is telling you the real struggles going on right now for someone who is living outside of the kingdom of knowing who God is and how much he loves them. She is going to share with us her story of community and how that was a pivotal point in turning her life to Christ. So if you're looking for community, we are going to be that people for you. We have a community called RW Plus. I hope you'll come join us because it's true, friends. You cannot do this alone. That is what Janine says. There is no way she could walk this out without a few other people walking with her in spite of the reality of cancel culture, which is a real thing for people coming up in the 20s and 30s right now. So let's pray for them. Be blessed by Janine's conversation or what she shares today. I loved it. I actually went over to her Instagram right after, started following her. And just today, she had a faith and fitness event with all these amazing young college gals showed up. And my eyes saw the glory of the coming of the Lord as she's in this gym, her Bible open, and she is preaching the word to a bunch of young gals in yoga pants and tank tops. And I'm like, there it is. I guess I say all that to say the future is certainty. What God is doing here at Revelation Wellness is not just here at Revelation Wellness. He is doing this on the earth. And it's so good to see that the next generation is picking this up and they will take it further and farther and stronger than we could. So let's bless them, enjoy the conversation, and go bless Janine. Grab the book, swipe up on the show notes, follow her, and let's just give her a real good round of applause that we believe in the call for life. Thanks, friends, for being here. We'll talk again soon. Peace. All right, Revelation Wellness community, today's a fun one. Janine is probably one of our freshest voices coming into the scene to talk to us about her new book, Janine Amapola. Why did I say it wrong?
Janine Amapola.
Amapola.
Yeah.
Janine Amapola. She is the author of a book that's coming out March 26th. So wherever you're hearing it, it's probably out right now. It's titled Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. I love that. And she's also the host of a podcast, the Happy and Healthy Podcast, which, if by the way, I encourage you guys watch this on YouTube because that's beautiful. I'm like, I need to up my game. What's going on here? It's so cool.
And your background looks so cool.
It works. It works for me. So Janine, welcome to the podcast. Tell our people who you are, how you came on the scene.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is such a joy. Yes, my name is Janine Amapola. I am now Janine Amapola Ward. I got married 4 months ago. I'm a newlywed. I am from Dallas, Texas. I have been in social media for 12 plus years. I am about to be 30 years old this month, which is crazy. And I've been doing this since I was 17. Part of my journey is that I had no idea this would ever evolve into anything. I actually thought about quitting a couple times, was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be a normal human being. I want to just go to college, live my life. And I really felt the Lord strongly tell me, I'm not done with you yet, and I have more for you. Very much walked away from my faith in college and really did not want to do this whole thing. I wanted to be a college student. I wanted to party. I wanted to date guys. I wanted to do whatever my fleshly desires wanted to do. And I found myself in an absolute chaos of a mess. And so when I eventually came back to the Lord in 2019, my whole story and testimony just transformed. And all of a sudden, I found that the more I obeyed God, followed God's ways, the better my life became. And I really went on this health and wellness journey as well as a faith journey. And the more that I implemented God's ways into my daily life, as I talk about in my book, I teach you guys how to do that in friendships, in dating, in your career, how to make decisions and adventure, in your identity, your body image, literally so many different topics. I overcame so many things God's way. And now I want to help other people overcome the same things I did.
Wow. Okay. So take me back to you 12 years ago. That means you're 18. Is that right?
Yeah. I was about 17, 18 years old, and I'm 29 now, about to be 30.
And you were in social media, just kind of using it as a kid, young adult. Like, were you doing social media? What was that time?
Yeah. So honestly, it's so funny. YouTube was probably 3 years old at this point. YouTube was super new. I think YouTube started in 2007. I started in 2010, and you didn't make any money. No one knew you were doing it. It was super weird at the time. I remember friends in my high school finding out I was making cheerleading videos, and I would film myself in my bedroom, and people would play my videos in front of me, and I was just so mortified. I was like, turn it off. Please turn it off. I didn't want anyone to know because it was not cool or accepted around this time. And so it started off with YouTube, then it migrated into Instagram, and then it migrated into Snapchat, which we don't use anymore, TikTok. And then I started my podcast in 2020 during the pandemic. I was like, this is finally the time. I'm ready to do this. I knew that the Lord had changed me, and I was like, I'm finally ready to share this story with the world.
Yeah.
Started my podcast, Happy and Healthy, in 2020. And then God put in my heart around 2020, the same time, that I wanted to write a book. And so I didn't write it for the next 2 years because I was like, me, God, no, I'm still a mess. Still have so much to learn. And eventually I finally was like, I'm ready to share this journey and bring people in on it. So I wrote my book, and I speak now, and now I'm also an author, which is really cool.
Crazy. Okay, I'm just going to cut to the chase on this question, Janine. Janine, what do you love about Jesus?
Oh my gosh.
Right, tell me.
That's such, like, it's a tough thing to ask. I could get emotional because I'm currently reading the book of John. I bring my followers a lot through these Bible challenges. So we're currently going through the book of John. And as I'm reading John, I just feel like Jesus is so kind. He's so tender. He's so gentle. I mean, the fact that he sat there with the woman caught in adultery, and everyone left. Everyone had their stones. And it literally says it was just Jesus and her left alone. And he just picks her up, and he like tells her, like, basically, I can't imagine exactly what he would say when he was there, but I can imagine him saying, I love you. I have more for you. Go and sin no more. And I just love his heart. And I think the world has that so backwards. I think he's this condemning, punishing, angry God. And I'm like, no, he is so kind and so compassionate. And I just feel like I see his heart in the book of John so much.
Oh. So tell us the story then of you knew Jesus, right? It sounds like you were believed in him and were, I guess, believed in him.
Yeah.
And then walking away and then turning back to this following Jesus place, right? Because you can believe and not follow.
Absolutely.
What do you want people to know about that time for you that might speak to them?
Oh my goodness. Living a double life is so not worth it. It's so empty. I mean, I was a full-fledged hypocrite, and I got called out for that, and that's what changed my life. I talk about that in the opening chapter of my book because I was doing both. I was trying to be in the world. I was partying every single weekend. I was making out with a random dude. I was dressing a very promiscuous way. I was trying to find identity and worth in all the wrong things. And I'm wondering, why is this not satisfying me? Why do I feel empty? Why am I depressed? Why do I feel anxious? Why do I absolutely hate the way that God made me? And all the while, you know, my parents thankfully instilled these values in me. They instilled that God didn't make a mistake on me, and that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God had a plan for my life. And they taught me the Bible, but I just wanted to turn like a stiff arm towards it. And I was like, nope, don't believe it. Cause I honestly thought it was embarrassing. I thought it was kind of a dorky thing. Cause I grew up homeschool Christian, and I think a lot of people look down upon me for that, like, oh, you're homeschooled? And that made me feel so embarrassed to where I was like, oh, I don't want anyone to make fun of me anymore, so I'm going to go the complete opposite. And living a double life is extremely empty because you don't reap the benefits of either fully. When you're half in with God and then half in with the world, you know, you might as well go all in with one of them. Otherwise, you're half in with one and you're not fully getting the full benefits of either one. And that's what I was doing. It was like I was a sprinkle of Jesus here, a sprinkle of parting here, trying to do both. And I was just like, man, what? This is so disappointing. It's just so disappointing. So there really does feel like a tug of war for your soul and your spirit. And I finally just was like, God, I can't do this anymore. Like, I am really sick of being sick and tired. And I finally got to the lowest of low and I reached out to a mentor and sat down in the chair with her, and she just called it out in me. She was like, you are a hypocrite and no man's ever going to want to love you and choose you if you keep living the way that you do. And I was like, the audacity of this woman. Yeah. Called me out. And my life just forever changed from that moment. So power and truth, when someone tells you something lovingly, but gently, but also truthfully, to say there's more for you, I needed that.
And what do you think Gen Z needs right now in terms of how to communicate the gospel? Because somebody woke you up with some love and truth, but do you see that happening, and how can we be more of that as people that are ahead of you in the generations?
Yeah, I think my message for Gen Z is don't chase your feelings, because I think a lot of Gen Z is just becoming very sensitive, and we have to coddle a lot of the emotions and we have to be very careful, and no one wants to hear truth anymore. And I think truth is very, it's very hard for them to hear, because they're just like, wait, no, like, that doesn't go in alignment with my values or my thoughts. And I think the truth of what the Bible says in John 8 is that the truth is what sets you free.
Yeah.
But Jesus displays that he does grace and truth hand in hand. He balances grace and truth very well. And so I think Gen Z needs to know the truth and needs to know what sets them free. I think a lot of us want to, you know, it's kind of that Bible verse, I think, in 2 Timothy, where we want to hear whatever our itching ears want to hear to make us feel good. And that's not going to get us really where we're supposed to go. I think God has more for us. And so my message to Gen Z is, if you open up this word of God and you find truth and you cling to this and you ask the hard questions, why is this true? What does this mean for my life? And then you share that. Like, the truth is what's going to set this generation free. And yes, we want to be sensitive to people's feelings and things they've been through. But overall, I do think that truth matters.
Gosh, I just think your generation, the generation of Gen Z, is just poised and ready. Because you've been inundated with social media. So there's this world offered to you of something that looks good. But as you pursue it, it has nothing there. So that's almost, this is a great setup, because the dark is dark. The light can be so bright, and you're doing that so well, Jenny, like really carrying light. So I think the generation coming up is poised and ready for a revival, for a real move of God, not just to know God in scripture and memorization, but actually we're hungry for God. So you're doing that right.
I agree. I think that Gen Z is hungry for truth or hungry for change. Gen Z is sick of whatever, you know, us millennials passed down, when they're like, okay, we don't want that. Like, give us the real me. And I am seeing, thankfully, I am seeing revival on TikTok. I'm seeing revival in Gen Z. And I want to share a quick stat with you, because I found this the other day, that apparently in 2021, according to the New York Post, only 25% of Gen Z said they believed in God. And now at the end of 2023, one third of Gen Z believes that there is a God, and their Gen Z is coming back. And I'm like, Gen Z, stand firm and believe in this and speak it out. And I really believe in Gen Z. I really do.
That's right. You're a millennial speaking to Gen Z. So way to go. Way to go. Okay. In your book, Becoming Happy and Healthy, you write this about your faith journey. You're right. A piece of the puzzle seemed to be missing for me. I wanted to love God and know him, but I simply didn't know how to. I was convinced that I was the only young girl in the world who had struggled with porn and lust, kicking this off early with my secrets, because I thought only guys struggle with that. In my early 20s, seeking male attention and going to bars almost every weekend to get drunk and make poor decisions was my destructive hobby. Thank you for going there. Janine's just going there, everyone. I was afraid to reveal these deep, dark secrets to anyone because I thought they would judge me, unveil my hypocritical life. I would show up to church hungover. You're amazing. And I tired from the night before. My parents would ask me, "What did you do last night?" And I would respond with a short, sweet answer, "Just hung out with some friends." Not only was I an addict, but now I was a liar too. I was so afraid to disappoint my parents and tell the truth. Confused was definitely one way to describe me. Okay, that is amazing. First of all, that should give everyone a taste of how honest this book is, but a powerful book for all of us who are trying to speak to a generation that really is. This is what they're facing every day. These are the permissibility that's out there, and you just went right there. So what, alignment? And I know you said that it was, you were just tired of living a double life. But at what point did you begin to go, this is so much better? Like when you gave your whole self to God, what was that turnabout? Was it just like, did you spend months just recovering and things started happening? Or was there a wrestle to kind of come out of it?
Yeah, great question. I would say it was a multitude of things, and really just surrendering my life. I would say number one, I had gone through a heartbreak all around the same time. And so I really felt like when I was 25, went through, like, it sounds cheesy and cliche, but that quarter life crisis, I felt that hard. Mm-hmm. I went through every wrestle of who am I? Why am I here? Is what I'm doing even worth it? Why does no God love me? You know, I was really just broken down and questioning myself and asking God these questions. And so that heartbreak really pushed me, which this is how God uses all your pain for something bigger and for his purpose, is that heartbreak really pulled me away from myself and towards other people, where I was like, I need community. Please help me. Mm-hmm. And it helped me reevaluate myself. And so mm-hmm. that turning point was community. It was accountability. It was vulnerability. It was confession. Mm-hmm. All of these things is what not only helped me become free, but also stay free, because it's easy to say, oh, I'm free now and I'm done with it. And then those temptations come right back at 3 a.m. and you're like, I really want to do that again. And so having that community piece to text and say, hey, I'm tempted by masturbation again. Yeah. Please help me. Yeah. You know, that was a big part of my story. And so having that is what kept me free, and consistent accountability. So I met with a Bible study. I joined a Bible study around this time. I met with these girls every single Tuesday, and we got honest. So the things that you see in this book is what I confessed to them beforehand of, hey, I'm struggling with masturbation. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with male attention. I'm struggling with this heartbreak. I'm struggling with disliking myself today. And women of God pouring into me, speaking into me, and then pushing me back to scripture is what changed my life. And then what I will say is, you know, even though the pandemic was probably one of the worst times of all of our lives, I really think that God used it for many people, including myself, mm-hmm. because I had so much extra free time. I was like, well, what am I going to do with my time? I sat and read my Bible for hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, dove into the word, journaling about it, and it literally transformed my life. It set me free. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the piece that I've been missing, because I was inconsistent with the word, inconsistent with God. I would check in here and there. 2 weeks would go by. Okay, God, are you still there? Do you still love me? I went back to God and I was like, God, I am sorry. And I repented. And God lovingly brought me back into his arms. And it was the best feeling ever.
So amazing. Was there a specific scripture that just grabbed you, or a book, or do you remember a moment where the word grabbed you? Because it is alive. When you just talked right now, I'm like, wow, that's how powerful this book, sitting on all kinds of coffee tables and places, and even in hotels, the hotel rooms still have them. Some of them do. Like, it's alive. Was there a specific scripture or any chapter that got you?
Really, I would say, I mean, it's two chapters. Number one, I actually have it pulled up right here. It's John 14:15, and it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Mm. And I just sat there and I was like, I don't love God. Like, if I loved God, I would truly do what he says to do, because he loves me. And I had this whole revelation out of it that I was doing things for God out of obligation and not adoration. Mm-hmm. And that gave me this whole revelation where I was like, man, if I really adored God, if I really feared God, if I really loved him, I would obey the things that he said. But it's because I didn't have an encounter with his love. I didn't have that deep reverence for him that it made me fearful of him and not want to do anything because I didn't understand his heart. So when I realized, okay, loving God is obeying the things that he said to me because he loves me and it's out of protection for me. Mm-hmm. That was really powerful for me. And then John 15, all about staying connected to the vine. That just made me realize that, you know, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I tried. I mean, have you tried in your life where you're
Listen, yeah. Let's be honest. You can do stuff. It's just not very fruitful. It's just like it's regret the next day. But yeah, like the actual life stuff, apart from him, impossible.
Exactly. And I think I realized, okay, if I want to do anything well and successful and to be blessed, I can't do this apart from God. No wonder why everything I've been doing has been flopping and failing. And I've been putting all my identity and worth into it. And so when I realized true life and true joy is connected to the vine, which is God, I was like, okay, God, no more in my own strength. I'm going to surrender to you. And it literally changed my life.
Listen, I have a 20-year-old daughter. One, I'm going to so make her listen to this. And two, I tell her all the time, listen, like, because she goes, why are some of these things failing? Because she's trying to figure out her faith. I think there's a lot of mirroring of what's happened as you grew up, knowing who Christ is, but you get to college. She's at a university right now. And she is wrestling with like this, none of this is satisfying. And yet there it is. And I tell her, listen, Sophia, you have a praying mother. You're screwed. Like, this is not going to work out for you. Like, God will be faithful to get you to where he's called you to go. So these things are not going to always feel good because they're not meant for you. So I do have two questions for you with that. Kind of backing up, because one of my daughter's questions is, it's so hard to find community. And you said that was one of the major things for you that really turned. How does someone find healthy, honest community? For you, you can share your story, but what would you suggest to those who are like, I can't find community?
Oh my goodness. It's probably the number one question I get because people are desperate for it. They're longing for it. And that's also the way that God wired us. God wired us for community, for intimacy, for us to be known. Mm-hmm. And so that is what changed my life was community. And so the number one place you're going to find community is the church. That's what God set it up for. And God asks us and tells us, hey, do not neglect to meet each other. Do not neglect that habit of meeting as some people do, because he sees the destruction that causes. So anybody in whatever city you are, I'm sure there's a really great local church near you. I would go there. I would say, hey, is there someone I can talk to about getting plugged in here? I really need friends. That's what I did. And I found my Bible study that way.
Did you just pick a random church, or did you know there was a church that was nearby? Like, literally, how did you find the church?
So I had a friend that started going there, and she's like, hey, there's this really great church called Vintage Church. You should come with me. And I was like, okay, sure. I got nothing to lose at this point in my life. And I went in there and I just loved it. And every single time I went, I just kept crying and crying and crying. And I was like, why do I keep crying? Because I just felt like the Lord was like, this is where I want you to go. This is the place that's going to bring you freedom. So a friend brought me there. And so I was really thankful for that. But I feel like for girls that are in college, there are a lot of Christian ministries that they should look into. I think there's like YWAM or there's Every Nation, really taking advantage of those clubs, even if it's Young Life, sticking with it and being consistent. Cause I think a lot of us want these immediate results. Like, why don't I have my best friend yet? It's been 2 weeks. It's like, okay, relax, give it a year. Really, I really want to have people commit and give it your all, invest into people. And something that I say in my book is that we can't expect people to be good friends to us if we're not first good friends to them. And so if you don't have community that's being honest and being vulnerable and asking you good questions, be that person first. I think sometimes you need to be the person that's willing to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to share my story and truly watch what happens. You open up with your vulnerability and so many girls behind you will be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Saying that, I thought I was the only one struggling with that. And I promise you, vulnerability really connects you and your people.
Hey friend, if you're looking for community, we've got you covered. RW Plus membership is the place to learn to live healthy and whole without all the noise and confusion. Be sure to swipe up on the show notes to learn more. All right, let's get back to this conversation with Alisa and Janine.
Okay, now I want to flip the page to your parents. What's this been like for your parents homeschooling you, giving you the word of God at a young age, watching you go in a direction that I'm sure they were not excited about, and then come to where you are? What would you tell us about your parents?
Oh my gosh, I have the best parents. They love Jesus so much, and they raised us with all these values. My mom showed us what it looked like to pray, how to pray in the spirit, how to just be bold and ask God for things and believe that God can do it. And then my dad really was the one that instilled truth into us and the Bible reading and reading scripture. And so as they saw me start to pull away, I honestly kind of stopped talking to my parents because I think there was so much shame and guilt that I didn't want them to know. And so I think they knew I was going through this stuff, and they would constantly check in on me like, hey, how's college? Are you making wise decisions? And I just didn't want them to know. I didn't want to let them down. Mm. And so I've talked a lot about this to my parents now because my dad has read my entire book, which is really sweet. And my dad was like, man, I just wish you would have come to me. I wish I would have known that you were going through all this stuff. And I feel like it's the same way with God. It's like, God's like, hey, you can come to me, right? Like, you know that I care. You know that I love you. You know I'm not going to condemn you. And my dad just really was like, I was nervous for you. I had a feeling you were going through these things. But my parents surrendered me to the Lord. My dad said, I gave you over to God. And I said, God, she's your daughter first before she's mine. And you are the one that's going to bring her back home. You are the one that's going to convict her. And the Lord did. And so I think parents should just surrender their kids to the Lord.
Yep.
And know that they've done the best they can. My parents did the best they could. It was my fault. I'm the one that made the decisions. So I appreciate my parents.
And the prayers of the righteous person are powerful and effective. I can't imagine how many prayers your parents prayed in the time where you felt maybe quiet or silent. And they just know, you know, as a parent, I don't think they're doing their fullest thing right now. They're not flourishing, but they're not. Lord, keep them from devastation. So well done, parents. What's your first name? What are the first names of your parents?
So my parents are from two different countries. So I'm curious if you can pronounce these. It's Joachim.
Okay. Joachim.
And Joachim. Lichia.
And Lichia.
Lichia.
Lichia. Joachim. What is that in terms of ethnicity?
Yeah. So my dad is from Germany and my mom is from Guatemala.
Wow.
Yes.
No wonder. Again, go to YouTube. Like your beauty shines from within to without, for sure.
You.
All right. Thank you. What do we say to someone who is living the hypocrite life and we're inside cancel culture? What do you do with that?
Mm. So cancel culture, as far as like, if someone were to call you out for living this hypocritical life?
Nope. If they were to step out and say, I'm going to leave this hypocritical life, I'm going to follow Jesus. But they also know that cancel culture is real. People will cancel you. People that were like, hey, I like the part of you. I don't like the Jesus you. What do you say to that person?
I say, let yourself be canceled because it's worth it. God is so worth it every single time. And the only opinion that matters is God's. That's really it. You know, at the end of the day, we're all going to stand before God, and it's either going to be depart from me, I never knew you, or it's going to be well done, my good and faithful servant. And I know for me, I want to be on the well done, my good and faithful servant. And so I think you got to release the control and the fear of man, because the fear of man, it says in the Bible, the fear of man is a snare and it traps you. And so if you continually live for people and live for people pleasing, you'll never win. One day they'll like you, and then the next day they won't. And so if you are on this roller coaster waiting for them to like you, and then maybe they don't, the next day you'll be on a roller coaster the rest of your life. And so my encouragement to you is get those three people, solid
That's
people
right.
around you, and you get that community, and you let them be the ones that speak into you and challenge you and pour into you and be honest with you. And the rest, it's like, hey, you don't even know my full story. Like, you can't judge me. You don't know
That's me. Right.
And let God be the one that judges you, which is the most important thing. And I think it's like everyone's so scared of being canceled. Everyone's so scared of something they say wrong or do wrong. And I'm just like, y'all, we've got to give each other grace because we are imperfect human beings that are eventually going to fail. So why would we not give grace to the people that would hopefully give grace back to us when we fail? Mm-hmm. And so audience of one is the most important thing that you can do in your life. It really is the way that you keep your eyes fixed on the right thing. That'll help you not look to the left and right and be confused. Fix your eyes on that one goal. And if it's God, you're on the right track.
You write, procrastination was my addiction. Staying up late watching Netflix was my hobby, and sugar was my kryptonite. So the unhealthy habits you had going on, what helped you make the shift towards healthy habits?
Oh man, so you seem like a nice and healthy lady, right? You got your
healthy
gym.
Lady. I don't know, I try. We do. I'm like the holistic thing, mind, body, soul, spirit. Yes.
Amen. That's totally my message as well. I think really, again, it was releasing that control. The control to be perfect, the need to have the perfect calories, the perfect macros, the perfect body, the perfect everything. Perfection is an illusion, and it's so unrealistic, and it's not obtainable. And so if you're chasing perfection, you'll be chasing it forever because it's not realistic. Mm. And so when I stopped comparing my body and my journey and my fitness journey to other women, I remember trying to watch this girl's fitness video and being like, okay, how can I do her macros and her exact workout and her nutrition plan? And I would find myself falling short every single time. And I was like, why is this not working? Mm-hmm. And I got the revelation that God was like, I wired you differently than her. That's her journey, her That's plan, right. her macros. So when I focus back on me, and with the way that God wired me, and I started focusing on health and not perfection, I let go of that. I stopped counting the macros. I stopped obsessively working out. Go. I stopped measuring myself every single day. I stopped getting off the scale every day. I stopped going to the gym as a punishment instead of a reward. I was like punishing myself in the gym, dripping in sweat. If I didn't drip in sweat, I was like, I got to go in the Stairmaster for another 20 minutes until I am dripping in sweat. I let it all go. Mm-hmm. And eventually I sought help. I had to get a nutritionist because I was struggling bad. And she was like, do you want to forever count your calories? Do you want to forever be a slave to food? And I was like, no. And she's like, we've got to rewire this. So she helped me understand that food was not my enemy, that food was on my side, that my body was not my enemy.
Yes.
And she taught me nutrition tips. She taught me how to eat and incorporate whole foods and whole grains and vegetables and fruit. And it just freed me up. And so I don't track anything. I work out. I go on my daily walks. I do. I really think the number one tip, and I'll be quiet because I'm talking a lot.
No, you're doing. Our people are perking up. Go.
Okay. My number one tip really is start super small.
Yes.
I tried to overnight fix all my problems. I tried the next fad diet. I got rid of all the food. I threw out all the sugar. I threw out all these things. And I was like, I'm going to start clean slate. I'm going to get healthy. And of course, to my surprise, failed in a week. And I was like, why can't I do this? You have to start small. Maybe it's like one minor thing. Today, I'm going to drink 3 bottles of water. Today, I'm going to go on a 10-minute walk.
Yeah,
so start small until you start amounting to something bigger and you can keep it up consistently.
I enjoy you very much. I'm looking at you as you're talking, and I see the name of your podcast, right? Is Happy Healthy. Is that right?
Happy and Healthy. Yeah.
Happy and Healthy. Why did you name it that? I'm staring at those words going, why did you choose that?
I love it. You know, when I started my podcast, I sat for days and weeks. I'm like, God, what should I name this podcast? And what's so funny, and I know this sounds kind of interesting, is that health and happiness is not necessarily promised in the Bible. But joy and freedom is. And so I was like, okay, wow, God, what are 2 things that everybody wants to be? Everybody wants to be happy and healthy. And I was like, if I can provide a way to give them those tools through God's word, then like, let's do it, God. And I didn't want it to be, you know, this sounds kind of bad, but like a cliche Christian phrase.
No, you're smart. Yeah.
Yeah, to where a non-believer was like, ugh, I don't want to click on that. I wanted it to be like, hey, I want to be happy and healthy. How do I do that? And then they get blessed by the word of God as well in the process.
And if I didn't already love you enough, I'm like, and she's wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. Well done.
Oh, man. Good job. What a compliment. Thank you.
For real. You're doing it. Okay, well, I don't want to keep you any more than you've already been here generously with your giving us your time. This is such good stuff, y'all. You're going to go and look and get Janine's book at anywhere books are sold. Anything else, Janine, that you want people to know about this message that you wrote in this book?
Absolutely. I think my final point is that I try not to make this book overwhelming. I really try to hone in on making it authentic, practical, and biblical, because sometimes you can read a book and you're like, okay, cool, great. Now what do I do? Like, that sounds good for you, but what about me? I gave you so many practical tips in here to you know what your next step is. And I really believe that even if you're like, I'm not a young adult, I don't need dating anymore, I don't need friendships, whatever, there's going to be a chapter in here that speaks to you. And I promise you, you're going to get something out of it. And I really, really pray that this book blesses you. It's not about me, but it's about helping you truly become free in all that God has for you.
I love it. It is, honestly, I can speak to all the things she said that book is. The book is. I mean, y'all, I read you the little excerpt there of her telling you like it is. It's real, and it gets to the real need of what God has for us, what the answers are according to the word, but in a practical way. So we're so grateful. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having
spending
me on.
Time with us today. Y'all, you'll swipe up on the show notes and you can get the links to all the places to connect with Janine. She's also on Instagram and I think on all the TikToks and all the places.
Yes.
Is it just your name, Janine, for Instagram?
Janine Amapola. Yep. Pretty much if you search Janine Amapola, you'll find me on any platform.
Hey, friend.
Love it. Well, come back again anytime and keep writing books and keep sharing the message. It's a good one.
Thank you so much, Elisa. I really appreciate it. It was such a great, fun podcast. And I love your energy as well. I really, really do. You're a great host.
I know. I'm like, we could go a long time.
I know. I'm like, let's keep going.
No joke. So love it. All right. Well, I'll see you again.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.